You're listening to the Nuff Said Podcast, real strategies for customer success.
Hey everyone, Chris here. This week on the Nuff Said Podcast, I spoke with Dave Darrington, who leads customer education at Outreach and is the co-host of the podcast called The Customer Education Laboratories. And if you haven't guessed it yet, Dave's an expert on customer education within success, and here's the TLDR from our conversation. First, Dave says the key difference between customer education versus, let's say, customer enablement or CS ops is that education is externally facing, similar to a customer marketing team. Meaning, one, the education team looks at how and why the product is used and the value it delivers, then it creates automated programs that help customers reach their desired outcomes. And two, as a result of that, one of their main metrics is often time to value. One of the pitfalls to avoid in customer education is the attitude that we need to make the customer learn about XYZ feature, when the more mature approach is to start from an understanding of the customer's desired outcomes. That's it for the TLDR. Here's the full episode.
When you have a customer success team get together, go, all right, hey, we got to help our customers. How are we going to do that? And you don't have someone like me in a capacity to really just like buckle down and focus, right? CSMs are working. They've got to maintain their book of business. So what ends up happening is you start just churning out content, right? I hate to use the word churn, but actually kind of this, it fits here. So the problem is that what we think like we have to make the customer learn. Think about those terms. We have to make the customer learn. That's kind of a panic and a reactionary tone. Because what's usually happening at this point is that, you know the deal, like we've been in tribal mode, we're building up our company. You've got people who are superstars and they know the stuff and it's all here, right?
Yep, exactly.
And then you ask them to go bleh, spit it all out on paper and then it doesn't quite fit. So what I tend to see customer success teams when they start getting into this scaling motion where we're trying to automate and do a tech touch, you know, low touch campaign is they do the kitchen sink. Okay, this works. Oh, you're just kind of like, because you're in a scatterbrained mode. And again, this is not criticism. This reality, our reality in customer success, we got to move fast. We got to help the customer and we just throw it all in. What you end up getting is a lot of the time, not garbage, but not necessarily anything that really drives that value prop. I want to tell you a story. So I was sitting in a meeting with my SVP and all the CS leaders. And he said,
yeah,
like, we got all this stuff. What is any of this stuff doing for us?
Uh-huh.
He's like,
I think you toned that down.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's like, it's great. I love it. Because like different teams, you know, you have enterprise, you have corporate, and they were all kind of doing different things. And we had all this stuff out there, but it was chaos. And it didn't really tie back to our corporate OKRs, our goals, what we're trying to drive to. And it's like, it does help a little bit, but now we've got a customer journey that's more scattered. This is where we're starting to think about what a customer education, thinking about the outcomes. What are we really trying to get people to do? We're trying to get them to be excited about the product, to understand how to use the product and understand just enough that they'll come back to us and go, I want to learn more. I want to learn more. Mm-hmm. I want to learn mm-hmm. more.
Nice. Okay. That's helpful. And in your answer, Dave, I realize that the audience really needs to understand your role because I think you have a more sophisticated role and charter than most customer education leaders. So can you talk about what is your team accountable for? And at the end of the year, how will you know that you crushed it or not?
Think about your company. Don't you get to that point where you go, oh my God, I can't fit this in my head anymore, right? It's like my vision, my product has become part of a tribe of people. And each one of these people know something a little bit different and they have a little bit different contextual understanding of how our product works. Mm-hmm. For example, product and developer, they're internal and they're thinking, okay, it should do this and it has to do this and this is how the machinery works. And then a customer success manager is like, I don't care about any of that. What is it actually doing? So what we're there to do, I think primarily, is to scale the knowledge that we have about not the function, but the value that our product drives to a customer, to get that information to a customer fluidly. And what that means is we have to take this tribal knowledge, all the mind share that we have internal and sometimes with customers, resurface it and package it up so that it can go out in different modalities. We're focused primarily on that product, right? The product layer. What does the product do? How does it do that? How do I get value out of that? And then if I'm doing those things, then what you're starting to see is I can directly attach those to my goals, my OKRs, or whatever you call them in your environment. Here's the number one, right? Time to first value. If you think what I'm accountable to, I'm partially accountable to helping drive the customer's value, the time to the first value that they get it. The light bulb went on. Ultimately, what I'm trying to drive to is that I see an adoption. I see a healthy usage pattern in our product from a broad set of people that are using the seats of that product. I see fewer customer support calls, right? Mm-hmm. So customer support is just not pounded with, why do they keep asking me this darn question? Well, we've covered that in training. I'm seeing customer success managers go, oh, you've got training now. Okay, I just set people up. And if they need one-on-one custom training, they go to my team. If they need university training, they go to my team. I've got my job is to build that warm hug around a customer with everything they need to know and give that to all of my other teams. And they can focus on their job, which is onboarding or maintaining a large book of business or what have you.
Okay. So if I can distill this to a couple of sentences, you are accountable for customers receiving value quickly. You measure that by, you have a KPI around time to value, which I assume has something to do with maybe product usage, or maybe there's a survey. I don't know. Maybe actually that would be useful to hear about too.
Yeah.
What's the actual measure? What is the KPI?
What we had done is we looked at customer accounts that did consume our customer education material and those who did not. It's kind of like a low touch customer success onboarding. And what we want to see out of that can be different depending. So maybe we're just doing an onboarding campaign. What I want to see is that customers coming out of that have by and large done it quicker, right? So the time to a customer's first value is that story arc where you're coming in from onboarding, you set up and configure the application that we're going to use. You start working with all the users of that product at that customer account. And what I should see is if my program is working correctly on one side, those accounts that don't use training or consume training have taken a lot longer to do so. And then those who have consumed training, you're seeing like the diagram that I had from the past was, it was like 130 hours time to value. That means mm-hmm. we exited onboarding and the customers were using the product pretty effectively to like 30.
Wow. Okay.
Or days. I'm sorry. I should be speaking in days here.
Days.
So
right.
Like 130 days to 30 days.
Wow.
I've got the data to prove it. So that's one of the key metrics. I'm like, I want to get that customer up and using the product fast.
And when you say 130 days to 30 days, that is the amount of time it takes them to what?
Let's say for account like Acme Inc. At Acme Inc., I had 100 seats. Of that, I have like an admin and I have mostly end users. And let's say I hit a target metric of like 80% of those customers have gone to the university, they've taken some courses, and we see an adoption pattern that's healthy. So we see 80% of the accounts actually using the account on a weekly basis.
Okay, that's helpful. So you're looking at, it could be usage, like feature breadth penetration. It could mm-hmm. be number of active seat licenses. Mm-hmm. And it could be the time that it takes for people to reach a certain level of engagement with either the education content or within the product itself.
Yes, that's exactly.
Okay,
and those
very
variables, they're dependent upon what you want. So what
of course,
I'm thinking
of course.
About is, as I think about things as a scale engine, those are going to change and you can't get them all in your head immediately. So you're going to think about the metrics that drive that are most important to you in the moment to drive towards.
I think that the question that everyone who's building this program wants to know is, how does customer education differ from enablement, and how does it differ from customer marketing? You talked about the person who's writing all those emails.
Yeah.
And how does it differ from CS ops?
That's a phenomenal question. And that's really at the heart of what we're talking about here with customer ed. So again, let's go back and talk about what customer education is. We know it's a tool there to help organize tribal knowledge and scale up the knowledge delivery so that our customers understand where they're going. Now, enablement, marketing, ops all have a piece of that. And to be honest, it's not a black and white. And this is kind of infuriating for people that like boundaries because there are none, right? This is, I think, Chris,
that's really, a good point.
This is the heart of what I'm coming to you for help with. Mm-hmm. As a customer success leader, knowing what you've done and knowing your audience, that I think this is a collaboration, that each of us has an important role to do. So let's talk enablement. My co-host, Adam, will say he hates the word enablement, and I'm actually warming to that hatred. It's not the word itself, I don't think, is really as good a selection as we could have for what the enablement mm-hmm. function really is. Mm-hmm. Enablement, you know, when you think about the enabler, he always says, well, like you're an enabler of this certain kind of behavior. Kind of true. Enablement is kind of weaponized education. It's there to tactically get somebody to know what you want them to do internally so they could sell or support a motion of getting that customer to value. So it could be sales enablement, a customer success. We have 3-4 different enablement teams right now at Outreach, which is phenomenal, but we all talk, right? And this is where you kind of get a split because a lot of enablement teams go off and go, I'm going to own the world. And they start doing product training and all this other stuff.
Exactly.
That's not their job in my context. A customer education function is there to encompass all of the product. How is it used? Why is it used? What's the value it delivers? That's our narrative, right? That's our role. So now let's go to enablement. Enablement is to take that, right? Now they may take our materials and they'll go inside and go, okay, team, man, we got to get our act together. Okay, here's all the product training. Go do that. Now let's build upon it. Now it's, we're going to tell you, the employee, if you are my teammate in ProServe, I'm going to go, or sales, let's say sales. Chris, don't tell customers about this one thing.
Right.
We're going to break every time, but we don't. No, so it's like that internal, the interstices of what the product can do that we don't want to expose to a customer and they don't care about. Like, how do you use Trello or, you know, Jira or whatever? That's all the internal tooling. But it's more than that. I'm not deprecating the importance and significance of the enablement function. It's just very different and it's complementary, right?
Yeah, I've heard people describe customer enablement as actually more internally facing rather than externally facing. I don't know if you found that to be true at Outreach, but several CS leaders have said that their enablement function is really about enabling CSMs, not about enabling customers.
Yeah. And I think this enablement of CSMs is such a dramatically important thing too. And actually I have a different take on it. I think it was Lincoln Murphy that gave me grief for a quote I made and saying, you know, we have to pick the fruit from the tree of understanding. You know, you think about all of the knowledge of our product. This is really exciting, Chris. Like, I love seeing how our product grows. And, you know, it's all these different people and their ideas. And you get all these leaves and branches of knowledge. And my job is to go and harvest that. And go, here, I'm going to prepare you a meal or give you a basket of this knowledge. And now you've got it organized. It's all there and structured. And we all have a different role in that. So enablement is exactly what I said. Marketing is actually also complementary, particularly product marketing and content marketing, is that they need to know what I know. What does a product do? But they're building that excitement. And I look to product marketing to say, what's that value prop? What are we really pitching? I'm going to internalize that.
I see.
And then I'm going to work with them to say, okay, let's build a double funnel where we get that marketing funnel coming in like a bow tie. And in the middle, that's where the handoff is to me. And that I'm actually doing marketing type content too. Like, I think the most successful educational programs are ones that bind to marketing and are actually every point of the way still outbound, still sharing broadly about the educational value of the product. And then I think you guys have said one more team in there. What was the third
one? The last one was customer ops, success ops.
Oh, hell yeah. CS ops is funny. And I used to report in through CS ops. Ops is a different flair and it's important in the structure and delivery cadence, right? Mm-hmm. What is it? What is the materials that we have? What can we include? And particularly more so, I look to them for helping me bring a nice funnel in, like a pipeline funnel, to make sure that we're getting people to bespoke training. We're developing SKUs for our training programs and helping me with the tooling and delivery, right? So systems, data analysis, reporting, now that we have an ops person at Outreach, I'm so thankful for his team's arrival that it's de-escalating my grief of knitting everything together. So again, all of us are complimentary, but I don't think people think about this that much.
Well, it was helpful to hear your description because I think now it's clear why it's important not to set tight boundaries because it is very collaborative across multiple functions, and it will work better if it's collaborative across multiple functions. So since we talked about the skills are required, now let's talk about how a company should get started with customer education, assuming that a lot of companies that are listening do not have a formal customer education program. How do you get started here?
Let's start from first principles. When I've come into several different companies, it's been kind of a similar mess. And I say mess with intentionality because everybody knows it. The Gainsight, when I came in, I was interviewing for a project manager role. And as I started, it was onboarding specialist. And I'm like, okay, this is good. It's better than where I'm at. And the VP I interviewed with, she said, okay, we're stopping this interview. And I completely freaked out. And I'm like, am I okay? She's like, no, there's another job I want you to do. We want to hire you for it. And went down that road. And the thing is, they were dealing with a problem, a huge pain point with at Gainsight at the time, an administrator, the person that are setting it up, could not figure out how to use it. It was that hard. I realized, oh my God, this is like being a database engineer, a database architect. So we had to roll back and think about concepts. Like, what is it that's holding it back? So as you come in and you build a program, the first flow, the first activity you can even do it right now. What is the pain our customer is experiencing? And then what I always do is have I like to get one person in, and that's their role. They can be like a project manager. You can be your first hire, but it's somebody that comes in and says, let's lay this all out. What's the dirt? What is broken? What is it our customers hate about a product? What do they hate about us? What do they love about us? What do they love about the product? Let's talk to some customers. Let's survey a bunch of customers. Let's talk to our internal team. And you knit all that together into one whole, and you start understanding the pain. So if you're speaking with the pain, then that's where you start your next step, Chris. You've got a person, they've got a plan. Now you staff it. And that's where the rubber meets the road. And a lot of times, and I'm talking with an executive here. So if you go, okay, what's the value prop, Dave, of you bringing in 3 important people? What's the budget? It's going to cost, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, a lot of times from an executive status, I think you could hate on this idea. Like, this is going to cost me a lot. And it's also complex because you need to measure that. So I think it's actually imperative that whomever is that hiring leader, a VP in customer success or whatever, think about that tactical approach. Like, okay, how am I going to tool this person to get the resources and keep the cost down as low as possible to grow the function, right? That's when you really need to lay out all those use cases, scope the work and say, okay, now I need an instructional designer. Why do I need that? I need a trainer maybe. And it's been all ends of the spectrum. Sometimes if you have a really technically sophisticated product, you might need some more technically sophisticated people. Sometimes you need more trainers live. Sometimes you don't. So that's that staffing step. And once you get that in place, what I always like to do is start architecting the development of a plan to hit those pain points fast. And then what I always do is say, okay, team, we're going to spend the next 6 to 8 months building the content. If you want to do it really fast, I'm going to do different things. And in that, the motion might be, I might do webinars. We take those topics, we start organizing them in a university on the fly. Do they look great? Nope. Don't care. I'm going to do those, schedule them, and start the scale engine moving. And then after a few months, after a month or two, you initially have content. And then you start scaling that up to the point where you have a university. And that's when you start tapping into like, how to work with professional services? Do I need trainers? And then you can grow from there, but you can grow very tactically.
And that's it for this week's episode of Nuff Said. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, head over to your podcast platform of choice and make sure you're subscribed. And tune in next week for more real customer success strategies. Nuff Said.